I'd like to invite you now to turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew. Tonight we're going to look at Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verses 11 through 15 will be the focus of tonight's sermon. Before we hear God's word, if you would join your hearts together with me in prayer. Please pray with me. Our Father and our God, we thank you for your pure and holy words that enlighten the eyes and bring salvation to our souls. We pray, Father, that as we hear the gospel proclaimed this evening, we pray that you would give us ears to hear and respond with obedience and love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 11, I would like to begin the reading in verse 7. We'll read through verse 15. Beloved, this is the word of God. As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. This is the word of God. Well, Jesus here extends his affirmation of the greatness of John the Baptist. John was the messenger about whom Malachi prophesied. That is what is quoted earlier from the prophet Malachi, the prophecy about John the Baptist. He will prepare the way. This was who John the Baptist was. He was the way preparer for the Lord. Jesus adds to this by saying to the Jewish crowds, Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Now, Jesus here, I think, by referencing men, among those born of a woman, was drawing the attention of the Jewish crowds to the history of salvation up until this time. He is having them look across all of history and all of God's interactions with His people throughout history. For thousands of years, God raised up prophets like Moses, Elijah, Isaiah, Malachi, and others, and they all, in a certain sense, prophesied about the coming of salvation, including also a coincidental judgment. That was what the prophets spoke of as well, as a coming salvation in the Lord, simultaneously a judgment against the unbelief of people in the world. Now, some of what they prophesied about had to do with present events or events in the immediate future. The prophets came and they spoke about things that were happening among God's people at that time, and they also spoke about things that should be happening or would happen in the immediate future. But a lot of it also had to do with promises for a distant future. And those promises were tied up with the coming of the Messiah. They centered upon the future coming of the servant of the Lord, a Messiah, an anointed one. For those of you who appreciate basketball or understand basketball, there is a French basketball player who is 7'5" tall. And in the last several decades, they are saying that he is the most anticipated player to enter the Professional Basketball Association. So ever since the beginning of the National Basketball Association, there's never been a player like this. And you can imagine a person who's 7 feet, 5 inches tall, but who can jump and run around just as quickly as others. And so we could say, among those born of woman, there has never been a player like this. You can see now what the idea would be, that we would be having you look across the entire history of basketball and think, this one is very, very special. Well, this is what Jesus is getting here, or this is what he is getting at here. The idea then is to highlight the importance of this most recent man born of woman, and that is John the Baptist. John the Baptist's greatness, though, as Jesus is explaining it here, his greatness had nothing to do with his athletic ability, like the basketball player we just mentioned. His greatness had to do with his association and his nearness to the fulfillment of Old Testament promises. That is what made John the Baptist great. Verse 10, all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, until now. Meaning, something new is happening with John. That's what Jesus was saying. The promises of old are being fulfilled right before your eyes. The Messiah has come. And how could they know that this was true? Well, it wasn't because of the greatness of John's preaching. It wasn't that John was such a great preacher that made him so special in relationship to all the other prophets that went before him. It wasn't because John was more holy than the other prophets, or it wasn't because of his commitment to desert living and preaching in the wilderness, although those things make him unique and were appreciated. That is not what made him great. His greatness had to do with his nearness to the Messiah. That is what made him great. All the law and the prophets prophesied before Christ came. And the force of their words had lasting impact for generations. They were speaking the word of God. And so a prophet would come, he'd speak. Some of those words would be written down. That prophet would die. But those words had abiding significance over the course of many generations because they were the living, active word of God. After Old Testament prophecy ended, for example, with Malachi, there came 400 years of silence from heaven. No prophecy, no prophet, nothing new for 400 years after Malachi passed from the scene. Nothing new from heaven was said. But now John has come, and he is greater than all of these, because right behind him is the Christ. That's what makes him great. His closeness to Jesus Christ in the flesh. John the Baptist prepares the way. Then the King comes. And with the King, the kingdom. Thus they heard in John's preaching, appropriately, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's on your doorstep. It's right here. Now, why is this significant? Because Jesus knew that because of unbelief in the hearts of the Jews, they were beginning to have a lower view of John the Baptist. Not because what he was preaching was unclear, not because what he was doing was unclear. Certainly it was clear because Jesus was right behind him. They were having a lower view of John the Baptist and his importance because they did not believe. They did not have faith. They did not want Jesus. That is why they were beginning to look for excuses not to respect and honor John the Baptist and his preaching. Their vision of the Messiah, what he would be like and what he would do, was very different than the picture we get in the Old Testament, the Law and the Prophets. The Law and the Prophets show us shadowy images of Jesus Christ and shadowy images of his death, his resurrection. It gives us types and shadows. It gives us promises, prophecies that show us something of what this Messiah would do. But But the Jews would have nothing to do with that Christ, and which is why they rejected the Christ. And so they began to doubt and to diminish their view of John the Baptist and certainly of Jesus. Jesus says here, whoever has an ear to hear, let him hear. He was referring to spiritual ears, a new heart given by the Holy Spirit so that one might hear Jesus' words and believe him. Whoever has spiritual ears to hear and respond to my words with faith, let him hear. For the most part, these crowds did not have spiritual ears necessary to believe. And therefore, they rejected the preaching of John in the long run, and they rejected the Christ about whom John preached. In fact, they had the Christ crucified. Very evident of their, clear evidence of their unbelief. Now, it's interesting here what Jesus does. He takes one of the greatest prophets of old, even according to unbelieving Jewish standards, Elijah. They, even unbelieving Jews, would hold Elijah in a very high place. He takes one of these great prophets, Elijah, and a well-known prophecy from Malachi, and he says, these things are being fulfilled right before your eyes. Malachi said, or God speaking through Malachi, he said this, this is Malachi 4, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. That is what was spoken 400 years prior to this moment here in Matthew. And so the coming of the one like the great prophet Elijah would mean the day of the Lord had arrived. It had come upon them. It was on their doorstep. The day of salvation. The day of the coming of the kingdom. Well, John the Baptist, Jesus says here, is this one. He is this Elijah to come. In fact, he was dressed like Elijah. He dressed like Elijah. He wore camel's hair and a leather belt. And Jesus gives another time indicator. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. What he meant was that beginning with John's preaching, the Elijah who was to come, beginning with John's preaching, Jesus says, a spiritual uprising has begun. The devil and his followers have begun to be systematically overthrown by our King Jesus and by all those who follow Jesus. That is spiritual violence. That is what has begun with the coming of John the Baptist, an overthrow of Satan's kingdom by Christ and by all those who follow him. Jesus was in the process of binding the strong man. Remember, he said if someone wanted to plunder a man's house, he must first bind the strong man, which is a violent action. Jesus was binding Satan. The violent take it by force. And he says that because all those living during the time of the Messiah, all those living during the time of the Messiah, because they see and experience the fulfillment of Old Testament promises and prophecies in Christ, he says the least of these in this new era, this new covenant, is greater than even the great John the Baptist. Why? Because the kingdom has come. This declaration includes you and I tonight. We are the least in the kingdom of heaven, and yet, in terms of what we have seen and what we know, we are greater than even John the Baptist. Now, why are we called greater than John the Baptist? Because in this life, we are living in the age of fulfillment, the day of the Lord. We are living, literally living in it, experiencing it, because Jesus has come. The saints of old, Elijah even, Malachi, all the believers in the Old Testament, they were looking ahead. They were looking for the day to come, and it never came. They got older and older, and they died, and it never came. The day of the Lord, the Messiah. Well, it has come for us. We see it. We experience it. We are living in the age of fulfillment. because Jesus has come. The disciples of Jesus saw and experienced these things. John the Baptist never did. He didn't see it. He didn't see the death and resurrection of Jesus. Now, so in that way, we're greater than John the Baptist. You live as a Christian and experience the Christian faith with much greater privileges today than even John the Baptist, who stood right in front of Jesus. Now, with this said, we have to keep in mind that the benefits of salvation for John the Baptist, for Elijah, Malachi, for Moses, Peter, John, all the saints of old, and all of us here today, the benefits that Christ has secured for us, they are all the same. All the saints of old are with the Lord. They are in glory. So in that sense, they're greater than us because they're with the Lord. The benefits of salvation are all the same. But in terms of our life here on earth, in terms of salvation history in this earthly realm, as it is advanced and accomplished, you know of and have experienced more than even John the Baptist. You are greater than him in that sense. And every believer beside you who will ever live in this new covenant era. Why? Well, John passed from the scene before Jesus was crucified. He stood, therefore, at the doorway. He stood at the doorway of the coming of the kingdom on earth. The disciples and all who follow Jesus by faith, hearing with spiritual ears, as you and I hear tonight, you are in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven. You are part of Christ's heavenly kingdom that has come on earth. You are now part of it. You have been included in it. You have been brought into it, and you will never be taken out. You are in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than even these Old Testament prophets, even greater than John the Baptist. Now, what this means for you and I is that we are in the kingdom of heaven, and therefore, we are part of the violent who take the kingdom from the clutches of Satan. God crushes Satan under our feet. We are part of those who take the kingdom from his grip by force. We are the violent ones, the spiritually violent ones. Now, this is not done with guns and ammo, of course. It is not done by resistance of authority. That is not how the kingdom is advanced. The violent means that Jesus speaks of here are spiritual. You are part of the kingdom, and therefore you fight. But you do not fight as the kingdoms of this world fight. You fight with spiritual means. The spiritually violent means that God has given to us. The word of God, prayer, receiving of the sacraments, humble obedience unto death. That's how you fight. And in this way, everyone can fight. Everyone. You don't have to be a young, strong male like in the Old Testament. Someone who could actually pick up a sword and do physical violence to another. Everyone is included. The young, the old, the infirmed even, the weak. You are all part of this kingdom, and therefore you are all part of the fight. And you take up the spiritual means that God has given you to wage that war. He who has ears, let him hear. To Christ be all praise and glory now and forevermore.